Once again, it's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're studying the book of Philippians. We're going to read Philippians chapter 1, the 8th through the 20th verse today. And so please, that you would open your Bibles, follow along with me if you would please. While you're finding that verse of Scripture, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. The street address is 18th and Church. And we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. If you'd like to come and visit, if you'd like to drop us a note, it would be the same address, Parkview Bible Church, Hamilton, Illinois, and again, 18th and Church Street, and the zip is 62341. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to see you. I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch, and we'll begin the study now. It's a joy to study the precious Word of God. It's always a privilege that we have to read and study and enjoy this precious living Word. Now, Philippians chapter 1, reading verse 8 through verse 20. For God is my witness, how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in other places. Many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, understanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in that I do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his precious word. Father, I ask you that you would guide and lead us. It is a joy always to come, read your precious word, come and visit and fellowship over your wonderful word. We love, Father, to study it, whether it be here at church for Sunday school class or church service or one of the Bible studies that we have, or again, whether it be here on the radio as we come together to visit over your word. I ask that the Holy Spirit would touch our hearts. I ask that each and every one would have already called upon the Lord Jesus for salvation and been saved. But Father, if there's someone out there, and I know there's many out there, many have maybe went to church all their life, Father, and yet still do not know you as their Savior, I ask today that it go from the head knowledge down to the heart. I ask that their heart be touched today and that they would come to Jesus and be saved. Please, Lord, that they not only be saved, but then they would testify to you, that they would not be closet Christians, they would come out and could not contain the joy that's in their heart, and that they would tell someone immediately. Please, Father, that we grow in your precious name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We love studying the Word of God. We love these verses of Scripture. I started to read there at the 8th verse and read all the way down to the 20th verse. But last week we found ourselves down through the 10th verse, and so today we're going to begin at the 11th verse, but I did not want to just start reading at the 11th verse. I wanted to kind of bring it all together, and concerning, as Paul said in verse 9, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in the judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Oh, that we can stand boldly, be sincere, be without blame, and that we would take this work of Christ so seriously, because I believe that the day of Jesus Christ is coming, and it's coming very soon. The day of that the church will be raptured from here, and that the end of our work We'll be finished then. And, oh, my friend, we need to be busy about telling people about Jesus, busy about studying the Word of God and telling people. You know, so many folks do not want to study the Word of God, do not want to really hear the truth, and yet, sad to say, they call themselves Christians. They call themselves believers. Only God knows their heart. But it's so sad that their heart doesn't drive and draw them closer to the Lord Jesus. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, verse 11 says, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. The fruit of righteousness. I have several verses of Scripture that we're going to read here concerning being filled with the fruits of righteousness, that we be driven by the power and the presence of God, that we would have the fruit of righteousness. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it tells us, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Oh, that we get busy. And even the times we go down through the trials and the tribulations. You know, I've said in the past that your trials, those times that are so difficult to you, they will leave. Actually, they don't leave. Actually, the trials and the tribulation, it continues. There's a battle that goes on in my life each and every day and almost every hour of every day. But you know, the power and the strength of God brings me through it to where it's no longer my battle that I'm taking. It's God's battle. And so when I said those temptations, and I noticed last week as we had the study, that I said that trial and those tribulations will leave, and it does with the effect of your life, because you're so lifted up with the power and the presence of God that you don't realize you're still going through those trials and tribulations. But because you have your eyes upon Jesus, the load is not there. The burden's no longer there, because Christ is living in you and carrying you each and every day and each and every step. And so that's a joy that we have. But here it seems as though that the chastening, it doesn't seem to be so nice when we're going through it sometimes. But my friend, the end result is that we will yield peaceable fruit of righteousness. So when you're going through that trial, please continue to keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Continue to have your life and your ears, your heart, again, your eyes in the Word of God. Do not forsake the assembling. Be in the house of God. You're going to miss something if you're not in the house of God. You're going to miss something. Now, I'm sorry. I don't ever want to not be in the house of God to hear the Word of God, because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. You know, the promise is where two or three are gathered, I'll be there in your midst with a special power. Now, why would you want to miss that opportunity when two or three are gathered together? When you come and we call and we have church together, we come together as believers, why would you want to miss that? Why would there be a time that you would not want to be there? Oh, my friend, that you could produce, yield peaceable fruit of righteousness. Paul again here tells us in Philippians, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. That's Paul's life. And Paul wishes this for the others, the church back at Philippi. He wishes this for them, that they would be filled with the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We have now in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. It says, little children, be not let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Oh, that we put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you know how to get the righteousness of God? You get the righteousness of God when you turn your heart, repent of the sin. You know, we are filled with sin. Our heart and our life is nothing more than a sinner, and we're hindered by sin. We are controlled by sin. Satan leads us around every place that we go. I ask, please, that you will recognize that sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans tells us again, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You want to get back into fellowship with God? You want to be a true believer? Then please, come to Jesus today and be saved, that you can have this fruit of righteousness. And again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus. Don't miss him. Please don't miss him. Again, back in 11, verse 11, Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Let's look to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to read from the first through the fifth verse. Romans chapter 10, and please that you would follow along. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That should be the prayer of every believer. Not a selfish prayer, a very unselfish prayer, a very desirous prayer that people would be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Paul wants them saved. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The problem is that they have a zeal for God. Do you have a zeal for God? Do you want to serve God? And you've got everything in your head, but you lack the knowledge. Again, verse 2, Romans 10, 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. But Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Again, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Not your own, but the righteousness of God. Oh, my friend, that you would look unto the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnesses by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Oh, my friend, that you come by faith to Jesus and be saved. Don't let anyone convince you that you cannot come freely to God and be saved. You are called by the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of you is drawn. Please that you come today and be saved, being justified freely by his grace. Nothing you can do. You just need to turn to him through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, my friend, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Please come to Jesus today. Please call upon him. We have in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Please, that you come to Jesus. Verse 21 continues, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. My friend, we need to come to the righteousness of God. We need to be saved. Come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved. Please, my friend, be saved. Come to Jesus. Call upon the Lord Jesus. We need to enjoy, and each time we look at the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, you know, we talked about in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Well, let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. the fruit of the Spirit, as it is listed in the 5th chapter of Galatians, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Please, my friend, that you come to Jesus Christ, that we have our being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. That our life would be filled with the righteousness of God, that we would have the fruit of the Spirit. And again, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That we would look unto God, enjoy His power and presence, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We've got just a couple more verses of Scripture here, and then we'll continue as we look at John chapter 15. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 5. And this is for us to understand that we enjoy the Word of God, we study the Word of God, we search the Word of God, and if you search it with truth, the power of the Holy Spirit will lead you. You will have great discernment of the truth, the Word of God. You will not be deceived. You will not be tricked by a false teacher or false preacher. You'll stand boldly before him and tell him that he's wrong, tell him that he's a liar, tell him that he's away from the truth of God. But instead of that, today, we believe man and we do not know the Word of God. We do not know the truth. We are not filled with the fruits of righteousness. We are not filled with the fruit of the Spirit that would come from us. Now again, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We're talking about the chastising for a season. Maybe it wasn't so nice. But I tell you what, he does it for a reason, that we produce fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Now ye are clean through the word, which I have spoken unto you. See what happens when you study the Word of God? You want to be filled with the fruits of righteousness? You wonder why that you do not have the power of God? You lack the witness of God? You lack a desire to even come to church? Well, it's because you've gotten so far away from the Word of God, the truth. Ye are clean through the word which he has spoken unto you. Please come. Please be in the house of God. Don't miss something. Because if you miss an opportunity to come into the house of God, you're going to miss an opportunity to hear the word of God and miss an opportunity to serve God. Abide in me and I in you, the fourth verse says, John 15. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. You see the progression as we enjoy working and looking after the Word of God, learning the Word of God. Are you dead in your trespasses and sins, and you don't even understand what to be righteous is, and if you're trying to come up with your own righteousness, as some of these other verses of Scripture have talked about? Oh, please, that we look unto the Word of God. Enjoy the power and the presence of the Word of God. It's such a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ. It's such a joy to be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. What is your life all about? Are you still trying to struggle around and see who you are and what you are? Oh, my friend, find yourself in Jesus. Praise His name, glorify His name, and forget all this other nonsense. Please, that you come to Jesus. I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Let's take one more peek at where Paul's in prison. Paul's in Rome, in prison, and the church of Philippi has sent a man, sent folks with a care package to him, and he has written this sweet letter back to them. And I'm sure they feel sorry for Paul because he's in prison. And he's been confined there. He's in bonds. And they say, you know, oh, dear brother, what can we do to help you? And he says, hey now, because of the gospel, I've proclaimed the gospel, even though I'm in bonds. What's happened to me has been to the furtherance of the gospel. Look at that one more time, verse 12, Philippians 1:12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, I'm afraid you and I'd be in there whining and complaining because we were not able to be out and proclaim the word of God. Well, you better check, when's the last time you proclaimed the word of God? What's the last time that your path crossed another path of someone, and when you met, that you missed an opportunity to tell them that Jesus saves because you didn't want to offend them, you didn't want to run them off? Well, if they die tonight, my friend, they're going to go to hell. We've been back in Acts chapter 20, and Paul was able to say that the blood of no man is upon my life, upon my hands, because I have told everyone that you have brought across my path, I have told them that Jesus saves. I've told them that you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and you need Jesus Christ, and you need to be saved. Come to Jesus today. Meet him at the cross of Calvary and be saved. Paul says, I have no blood upon my hands. None. Because I have proclaimed that. How much blood is on your hands because you have ignored it? You've stayed in some liberal sick church. And, oh, you can say that it's most common. The people are wonderful. How can they be wonderful? They don't know Jesus. Think about that. Think about how many people that are around you are going to die and go to hell because of your lack of concern, because you've been rocked to sleep. Please, that you come to Jesus today. If you've not saved, if you are saved, wake up. Get serious about serving God. Get in the house of God. My friend, you don't understand. The time is short. You're just playing school. You don't care. You're playing some game with your life. Well, you're playing that same game with everybody else's life. Maybe you're going to heaven because you've come by faith to Jesus. Because you're so lazy, everybody else around you is going to hell. Please that you awaken. Come out of that sleep that you're in. Be aware that Jesus saves. And he says here, even though I'm in my bonds, even though I'm put in prison, that it's still going out. The furtherance of the gospel, it's still going. Acts chapter 20, verses 20 through 24. I'd like to read this for you. Paul again. Acts 20, verses 20 through 24. It says, how I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. I have showed you, I have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews, also to the Greeks, repentance towards God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Do those words sound familiar? The call that I've given you, come to Jesus today. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness every city, saying the bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy, and that the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace, the grace of God. Please, and I'll show you down here, now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see me face to face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. Remember what I just said? He said that he is safe from the blood. And he goes on. I love these verses of Scripture. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I have taught you. There is nothing I have kept from you. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood, bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. I have kept nothing from you, and no man's blood is upon my hands, because I have kept nothing from you. I have told you how to be saved. Now it's up to you. What are you going to do about it? And please, my friend, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The gospel continues to go. Verse 13 tells us, Philippians 1:13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the other places. Oh, nothing stops the precious gospel, the sweet gospel of the Lord Jesus, as they hear that precious word. You remember back in Acts chapter 16, the 25th through the 34th verse 34, and that's concerning Paul and Silas as they were placed in jail, if you remember, as they were thrown in the prison for preaching the gospel. And this earthquake was there, all the doors were opened, all the shackles were loosed, and the keeper of the jail came in trembling, and then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in all thy house." And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and all his house. Oh, my friend, what a witness. Paul and Silas were in prison, and folks were saved. Paul is in prison in Rome, and he says, "I praise God because of what I got, because there's the people here, the jailers here. They are hearing the gospel. Probably would never hear it if I had not been in prison." What a way to look at being put into prison, that they wouldn't have had an opportunity. Please, that you look at every opportunity you have, every path that you cross, every way, every avenue that you take, that you accept that as a place that God wants you to be, that you can share the gospel there. There's many times that you don't understand why you're going. Now, Paul here could have complained. He could have complained back in Acts when he was in the jail at Philippi. He could have complained here in the book of Philippians when he's in prison in Rome. He could have moaned and groaned and complained to God about how that nobody takes care of me and everything goes wrong. But you see, he didn't, because he set out to preach the gospel. And he just used that as an opportunity to preach it again. And he said, "It's went out through this whole palace, through the whole area, because I have been confined here. I've talked to everybody that comes to the door." You know, maybe they didn't want to come to the door. Maybe they was upset because they were the ones that had to watch the door of Paul, the jail door, the prison door. "Oh, why do I have to be next to him again today? He's not going to do anything but tell me about that Jesus of his." Oh, my friend, that people would talk to us that way. "I don't want to talk to him anymore, because all he talks about is Jesus." We keep our mouths shut way too much. We need to proclaim the truth, the Word of God, and tell people how to be saved. We need to not be offended by their reaction when they kind of turn away from us. We need to boldly present it to them and say, "Please, will you come to Jesus? Why are you turning away? Why won't you listen? Why won't you come into the church that preaches the gospel and hear it? Why are you ignoring an opportunity to come into the church to listen? Come into the building. The church is the believers. Come into that place of worship. Come that you can join us to study the Word of God, because where two or more are gathered, I will be there. Why do you want to miss something? We're going to miss it. Why would you want to do that? Please that you come to Jesus." He says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. People know that I love Jesus, and this isn't stopping me. And many of the brethren in the Lord, they're becoming confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." You know, when Paul was out there preaching, Paul was such a wonderful preacher, powerful preacher, had the power of God upon him. And when Paul come to town, I'm sure that some of these boys was backing off. And you know, sometimes if somebody else is doing it, you back off. Please don't back off telling people how to be saved. You can't say, "I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say." You tell them that Jesus loved them. Jesus died on the cross for them. And you can live if you'll come by faith to Jesus. Will you please trust today in Jesus? That's all you got to do. That's what I need to do to you. I need to proclaim that to you. Will you come to Jesus today? Get it from your head down to your heart. It's got to be your heart. Now, back here in Acts, when we were in the 20th chapter a while ago, if you weren't there last Monday night in La Harpe at the Bible study there, that's what you missed. We had a sweet time. We had a dear lady there that told me how to be saved. She told me how to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And she said, I said, "You know, if it's important just to be in church, is that enough?" And she says, "No, that's not enough. You must have it." And she kept pointing to her heart. "You must have it in your heart." Oh, my friend, she's right. How about you? Do you have Jesus in your heart? What are you going to do about Jesus?